one does not concern oneself with pedicure.
So, no need to wash, to start cutting the nails and things like that. After washing one's feet, one sit oneself cross-legged, set the body erect, and establish mindfulness in front of oneself. One does not occupy one's mind with self-affliction or affliction of others or affliction of both. One sit with one's mind set on one's own welfare, on others' welfare, on the welfare of both. In fact, on the welfare of the whole world. And I find this very interesting, because he said, okay, we have a seat made ready, we sit, we wash the feet, we don't get too concerned, you know, get too intent on the feet, just to be clean. Then we sit, we have the posture, the back is straight, the shoulders are open. And then in a way we try to cultivate mindfulness. But then he tells us about how, in a way, to cultivate this mindfulness. And to see that when we sit in meditation, when we walk in meditation, what happens often? I mean, the first few minutes we're really there. Yes, the breath, the body walking, the sound, whatever it is that we do. And then very quickly, actually we do what he does not recommend. We look at what is negative about ourselves, or what is negative about others, about what is problematic in our life, and then we kind of often kind of ruminate about all these things. And he said, be careful. When you just sit there, it is likely that this will happen. You will have all these things pop up. But he said, the Buddha says, be careful. Try actually to turn this round so that the environment, mental environment, the heart environment in which you do the practice, you actually sit, you do the practice with very much the mind, the whole being, set on our own welfare, on others' welfare, on the welfare of the world. But in a way, we don't just do this for ourselves, but we do this also for others. And when we sit, we try to see how sometimes we really go into what I would call this negative patterning. And actually to see, oh, I'm going there, can actually not go more into wishing well for myself, wishing well for others, wishing well for the world, appreciating what is good in myself, what is good in others. Then another one which I think is often to consider when we start a retreat, we start meditation. So too, Sona, over-striving leads to agitation and under-striving leads to slackness. Therefore, resolve upon evenness of energy. And this is in a way to look at when we sit in meditation, what do we do? It's interesting, sometimes we try too hard, I'm really going to do this, I'm going to concentrate, and we kind of become too tense. Or we kind of, oh, this is so tiring, and then we don't try anything, and we just sit there, trying to kind of be aware. And then the Buddha points out, if we try too hard, then actually it leads to agitation. It leads to restlessness. It leads to kind of this tension when we sit. At the same time, if we try too little, then actually it's going to sap the energy. We're going to feel actually kind of without energy, and very likely we're going to feel kind of a little sleepy, a little kind of faded, one could nearly say. And so he said, try to find a kind of like evenness of energy. When we don't try too little, but we don't try too hard. And this is what I would recommend for you to see, even to be aware in terms of how do I sit? Am I too loose and then I kind of can't hold the posture? Or am I too tight around the posture and then I feel a little tense? So in a way, as we sit in meditation, also being mindful of, like I would say, the posture of the body, finding that evenness, or the posture of the mind, Am I trying too hard with the mind or too little? Am I trying too hard with the heart or too little? How can I find that evenness the Buddha recommends? Then, about mindfulness, because this is what we are practicing during this weekend, mindfulness, awareness. And the Buddha says, what is right mindfulness? Here a person abides contemplating the body as a body, ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away greed and hatred toward the world. One abides contemplating feelings as feelings, ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away greed and hatred toward the world. So, and this is what I would recommend for us to do. For the first part of the retreat, from today till tomorrow afternoon, to try to contemplate the body. Contemplate the body through being aware of the breath, contemplate the body through being aware of the sensation in the body, just being aware of the body as the Buddha suggests. But at the same time, it's interesting. What is it that is going to help us to be mindful? Is putting away greed and hatred toward the world. And again, to see when we're not mindful, what are we doing? When we're not mindful as we sit or walk in meditation, generally, we either plotting revenge or we are aspiring, looking at what is it that would be nice to have on holidays or whatever it is that we kind of, you know, would like to have and might not have at the time or etc. or look forward to, etc. We generally spin. Where do we spin? Do we spin toward greed, craving? Do we spin toward hatred, negativity? And just seeing that, in a way, when we go this way, then of course it will be harder to be mindful. And then the last one, because what is it that we meet when we sit in meditation? And I found this little poem by the Buddha wonderful. Mean thoughts, tribal thoughts, come tempting the mind and fly away. Not understanding these thoughts in the mind, the heart strays, chasing them back and forth. A person understands these thoughts in one's mind and sees through them and let go of them with mindfulness. And again, this is what we're confronted with when we sit in meditation. We have this, often this kind of like a wonderful image, abstract image of us sitting, having no thought, being so quiet and clear. And then when we sit, what happens, especially on the first day of the retreat often, is that there is all kind of thought, all kind of thing whizzing by. Yesterday, a few days later, and 10 years ago, and things fly by in the mind, and generally we get caught because we don't see. Maybe I don't have to think about this right now. I mean, if you look at the thought in your meditation, generally you see they're not very original. Generally you have thought them before. And possibly you could see as taking a holiday from all these thoughts that generally runs around. And just in a way, helping us again with the mindfulness. Because what do we do when we sit in meditation? And I think that's where the Buddha was really, in a way, found a system that actually worked, that actually was relatively efficacious. And in teaching us to cultivate samatha and vipassana, to cultivate concentration and experiential inquiry, looking deeply. And why do we do this? Not just because we have nothing better to do, but because actually it works. Looking at the focusing, the concentration, samatha. What do when we do samatha? Actually, we take an object in the experience, in awareness meditation. So let's say today, until lunchtime, where I want to bring more the feelings, we focus either on the breath, or on the body, or on the body breathing. Whatever you find, you can focus on. So you focus on the breath, you focus on the body, and then that becomes the anchor into the moment. Because you start with the breath, with the body, and then within 2 minutes, you're off somewhere. In the past, in the future, so maybe some anxiety. And then, what is it that going to bring you back? Is to remember your intention, to be aware, to be mindful of the breath, of the body. And so what are you doing? Whenever you come back, you actually are not feeding the mental patterning. So first, you're not feeding more thoughts. And secondly, by coming back to the breath, each time you come back to the breath, you dissolve the power of that mental patterning so it can come back to its useful function. So when we sit in meditation, we're not trying to stop our thought, but we're trying to create space within our thought, so that in a way we don't go too far. So in a way the samatha actually helps us to be more calm and more spacious. So the thoughts can arise and pass away. We don't have to grasp at them. We don't have to make stories out of them. We just let them arise, just like sound. Sounds arise and pass away. Thoughts arise and pass away. And we have thought because we have a brain. So having thought is a good idea. But when the thought arises, what do? As the Buddha suggests, we let them go. We let them pass without grasping at them. And the samatha, the concentration, helps us to do that. But bringing us back again and again and dissolving that mental patterning. So that then they can go back to useful functioning. And then I can think when I want to think and not when I don't need to. Then there is a second aspect, the looking deeply into the experience. Noticing the changing nature, noticing, experiencing the conditioned nature of the breath, of sensation. We're not thinking about something. We're actually going to the experience of the breath coming in, coming out. Coming in a little cooler, though not much cooler here, and coming out body temperature. Just noticing that change. With sensations, just noticing they come and they go. And that makes us more in tune with the fact that things change. And this is what we can really see when we sit in meditation or walk in meditation. Things change. Thoughts, sensations, feeling, sounds, they come and they go. Especially if we don't grasp at them. Because we have a tendency to permanentize, to make things last longer than they would need to normally. If I have a problem, it's a terrible problem. I always have this problem. I will always have this problem forever after. When the problem arises upon condition, and it will disappear upon other conditions. And so in a way, the looking deeply, the really organically experiencing the changing nature, the fact that things arise and pass away, then makes us more in tune to, yes, I have a problem. But it has a reason because of certain conditions. How can I creatively engage with those conditions? And so this is what we are developing. When we are cultivating meditation, we're developing what I would call creative awareness. The concentration helps us to develop quietness and spaciousness. The looking deeply, the experiential inquiry helps us to develop the openness, the clarity, and this together becomes a creative awareness that then we can use in our daily life. Personally, I would say yes, when we sit in meditation, especially if we do longer retreat, we can experience meditative state. But to me, that's not what is the most important thing about meditation, is to develop that mindfulness, to develop that creative awareness, so that when we are into our daily life, then we can creatively engage instead of reacting automatically, reacting habitually, and very often creating pain for ourselves and for others. So during this time together, I would try to, because you have meditated before, is to really see these two elements of samatha and vipassana. That's what you're doing. You see, when you sit in meditation, you are cultivating concentration and experiential inquiry. This is what you do. But what do you do most of the time? A lot of the time, what do we do in meditation? We barely watch the breath for 2 minutes, and then what do we look at? The effect of the meditation. Is the meditation working? Is it as good as last time I tried it? Is it better or worse? Is it as good as what I read in the book? Or is it as good as my friend told me on that retreat what he or she experienced? But effect doesn't matter. They will take care of themselves. And I would say you will see them more in daily life than you will see them in meditation. Because I can guarantee you something about meditation, which I don't know if anybody told you before, is that generally nothing happens. This I can relatively guarantee. Not much happens. But this is fine. We're not sitting to have something happen. We are sitting to cultivate samatha and vipassana, concentration and inquiry, so that we can develop this creative mindfulness, this creative awareness that then we can use into our daily life, and which will be imbued, as the Buddha suggests, for the welfare of ourselves, for the welfare of others and the world, which will be without greed and hatred, but motivated by wisdom, by compassion. So that's what, in a way, to use this opportunity of being together in the sitting, in the walking, to really cultivate the meditation. Don't worry about the effect. Just cultivate the meditation. Just focusing on the breath, on the body, just noticing the changing nature, noticing the thought arising and passing away. And personally, what I recommend is what I would call the foreground and the background. In the foreground, to have what you generally choose to focus on. I don't think any object is more sacred than any other. It's what works for you. If you don't have asthma, the breath is a good idea. If you have asthma, I would not recommend the breath. I would recommend the sound. If you have tinnitus problem in your ears, I would not recommend the sound. I would recommend something else. If you are in great pain in your body, I would say do the sound, all loving kindness. Don't do focusing on the body. If you feel fine with the body, focus on the body. So try to see what is the object that I can focus on, which naturally I will do that. And then trying to notice its changing nature. And at the same time, in the background, you have this wide open awareness where thought arise, sensation arise, feelings arise, sounds arise. And you just let them arise and pass away. Not grasping, not rejecting, as you try to come back again and again to anchor into the breath or the body. And what is interesting is whenever we come back to the breath, we come back to the body, actually we come back to the whole moment. Because I think this is what the Buddha wanted us to be aware of, actually the multi-dimensional quality of the moment, to really be aware as much as we could. But in order to be aware, it's helpful to be aware of one thing first, which kind of anchors us. And then through being aware of that, then generally we can be more aware of what is around it as well. So that's what I would recommend for the time together until tomorrow afternoon, where I'll go more into feelings, feeling tone, Vedana. But I think the Buddha was quite emphatic about it, and I think it's quite interesting also to look at that. So now, before the sitting proper for 30 minutes, can we just stand up for just a minute to kind of just stretch the leg? Just doing a little standing meditation, possibly a little stretching on the spot, since we quite a few in this room. We could possibly put the air conditioner. conditioning, this is fine to put it on. I don't mind when we meditate. Okay, so if we find a comfortable posture, so the back is straight. The shoulders are open. And then we rest our attention on the breath. Breathing in, we are aware of the breath coming in. Breathing out, we are aware of the breath coming out. And of course, in the background, there will be the sound of the air conditioning or any other sound. And anyway, as long as we're aware of the breath, we will be aware of that sound. As long as we're aware of that sound, we will be aware of the breath.